Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the Islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Welcome to this week's episode of Right Here in Mass. Joining me today are Monty Belmonte and Khalees Smith, the hosts of the fabulous 413, a daily afternoon radio show celebrating life in Western Massachusetts and a kind of Mr. Rogers neighborhood for grownups. I'm so excited to have you both here. I'd love if you could start off by introducing yourselves and sharing more about what you do.
Do you want to go first, Khalees?
No!
Okay.
Why do you do this to me?
I just like to offer. I'm Monty. I've been working in radio for 24 years. 20-ish of those years were at 93.9 The River, WRSI, in Northampton. And just a little over a year ago, we started this show, The Fabulous 413, at NEPM, New England Public Media. I love radio. I love that it's a live and vibrant medium, that it also has a terrestrial signal that reaches a certain specific community, and trying to cater to that community as opposed to trying to be all things to all people across the whole country and world is both exhilarating and challenging. So that's kind of my MO and always has been in the way that I've done radio.
Love it. And how about you, Khalees?
Well, I came to radio late. Monty actually brought me into radio. And so I was...
Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. I said yes. I pursued this.
It's true.
So I worked at The River also for about 7 years before coming here to do this show. And I also love radio, but for different reasons. I still think that radio terroir is a very important thing. But I definitely came at it from a more music end of it. Like, music is very much my jam. So I feel like personal curation of radio in general is the thing that really is appealing and was appealing to do about this show, just making it a little bit broader than it had been. That's it.
Yeah. And so tell me more about Fabulous 413. Like, what inspired you both to have the show? Like, what are the topics you talk about? Just tell me all things about it.
Well, Monty, I mean, like, it is Mr. Rogers for Western Mass, but like, for my, since I'm less like at the core of the inception of the show, it is a really fun opportunity to find cool things happening in our neck of the woods that everybody can get into or find out about. And so, like, discovering those little gems or highlighting those things is just like kind of what we're about. We go and talk to farmers, we talk to scientists, we like go to the symphony, we have bands on every Friday, we like go and eat things. It's really like just delving into the stuff that's fun to be a part of, the things that make living out here really nice.
Yeah. And I think going back to what we said before, you know, we're an NPR affiliate station, and Morning Edition and All Things Considered and Fresh Air, those are all incredible shows that you can get literally anywhere in the world, on your phone, through an app that gives you podcasts. So what I felt was missing from my public radio station in the place where I lived was more conversations about interesting things going on locally. I grew up in the Boston area, and the Boston area radio stations were doing it really, really well. That's where I kind of fell in love with public radio. So when we had the opportunity to bring more of that conversation to our public radio station, I jumped at it. I also jumped at the fact that I wasn't going to have to wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning anymore to do a morning show, and that the show would be in the afternoon. So my lifestyle has changed dramatically for the better in that way too. But really, it's super exciting when we both encounter something in very close to where we live that we didn't know about before. And it's also exciting when we find out about something, introduce the listener to it, and then we get feedback. People are like, I went to all of these things that you talked about, and it was so great. Thanks for doing that. That's really when it feels special.
Yeah, that's the best.
Yeah. And I can imagine that. And with that, how do you find about like these new things that are happening? Like, I imagine that people probably reach out to you and you probably receive pitches and whatnot, but do you do a lot of your own research to really discover the latest things that are happening in Western Mass you can introduce to your listeners?
Yeah. I mean, like I'm on a lot of newsletter lists and like, frankly, just talking to people because like your neighbors are involved in a whole bunch of stuff that you might not know about. And so like, just general networking of reaching out and talking to more people in the area exposes you to even more.
And then when people kind of hear the show and know what we're up to, people will say, oh, you know what I heard about this crazy thing? This would be perfect for your show. Mm-hmm. And so it's a little bit of both. Like we'll be scanning the news and things like, oh, we should talk to that person and have them on because what they're doing is really interesting. And then other times people will reach out to us and say, have you heard about this thing? I think it'd
be
right up
your
alley.
No, talk to us about it.
Yeah, right.
Tell me more.
Yeah.
And so can you pick like a favorite that you might have done? I imagine with there being so many, it might be hard to narrow that down.
This is the thing I'm going to have to do in a couple of weeks because we're taking some time off and I'm going to have to put together the best of shows. So like this is a great brainstorming session for that since the last round of best of shows.
I got one. I mean, and this one was just from like last week, I think. But there's a music store in downtown Northampton. They reached out to us and said, hey, a kid walked into our music store with a 168-year-old Martin guitar that there was only two of them ever made. And we traced its story and we traced its history. And so to be able to do like our own mini antiques roadshow with something so hyper local, it's really fun to be able to share stories like that.
Yeah. And I hate like harping back to this, but like this woman is just so cool. We've talked to Ruth Carter a bunch because she's from here. And every time she's in town, we kind of like tag her and we're like, hey, do you want to come in and have a conversation? Because she is genuinely like the best. She's
Ruth Carter is the 2-time Oscar winner from Springfield, Massachusetts, who won Oscars for her role as costume designer on two of the Black Panther movies.
Yeah.
That's
she's
awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah. So it's sometimes it's famous people, but it's really not that's not the goal. We're not like trying to find the most famous people to talk to all the time, which I think a lot of other shows want to do too. It's really like, who are the interesting people? Who's doing something cool in our area? Yeah. Who are we going to make a little bit famous because they deserve to be because they're doing such cool things. So like, we have a lot of regular guests too. You know, Merriam-Webster, the dictionary is right in our backyard in Springfield here. And we have, I think arguably our most popular regular guest is our Merriam-Webster editor, talking about the English language and the history of words and the new words that they're putting in the dictionary. And lots of listeners email with their questions or their complaints about how the English language has been changing and in ways they don't like. And it's really, that's always really fun too, to be able to engage listeners and ask their question and, you know, ask their questions of an expert.
But then at the same time, we'll like introduce them to like David Rothstein, who not only does snow sculptures of like in competitions, but floated down the Connecticut River in a pumpkin.
Yeah. So it's a weird place and we love that. We celebrate its weirdness.
Yeah. Well, I think that's one of the ways or reasons why it's so unique is that you bring in people and organizations of all different backgrounds and industries and things that they focus on, and you just help to amplify what they're doing. And I think that's really wonderful, especially in Western Mass, because from what I've heard from other guests from the area who've come on the show, it's kind of like a part of Massachusetts that's sometimes written off by other people and almost like disregarded. And so I think the work that you're doing to just highlight all of the wonderful things that are happening within the area is really great.
Yeah, I believe on certain maps it just says here be dragons.
Yeah.
Over the four counties. And they're not
necessarily
wrong.
I used to think that
wrong.
Myself. Yeah. I used to literally call Western Mass a desolate wasteland. And when my now wife was coming out here to get her master's degree, it was a choice between going to New York, Washington, D.C., or Amherst. And I was like, oh, Amherst is a desolate wasteland. There's nothing in Western Mass. I took one little trip around the block in Northampton. I was like, actually, this place is kind of cool. And so the rest is history. That was, you know, 22 years ago or something.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I can testify to that. I'm getting married right near Northampton at Valley View Farm in Williamsburg.
Oh, yeah. I just emailed them right before we came on.
Oh, my God. They are
and we
the
did
best.
A segment with them. They're wonderful. Like, super awesome. And the whole team there.
We better get invited to your wedding.
Yeah, right. I'm gonna be like, actually, I need to add some like two guest names to my list.
I'm totally kidding. But they are great there. It's such a beautiful place. It's really wonderful.
Yeah. So when I found out about you two, I was like, oh my gosh, I wonder if they've had have ever featured Valley View.
Oh yeah, we have like we did their cider bar. We're probably gonna go back this summer because they have some really interesting. They have some guests coming in over the summer that are kind of Valley staples in a way.
Semi-legendary chefs from the Valley who left and have been in France but are coming back this summer to do
Oh
pizza. You
wow.
heard it here first.
Left in a cloud of notoriety
Yes. Yeah.
too.
James Beard
Like,
Award honoree kind of like level chefs. So yeah.
yeah, very cool. And so where do you see the Fabulous 413 going next? Like, do you have plans for anything big or anything different that you'd like to bring to the show?
No, not, I mean, I don't know. I feel like mostly doubling down on this because like it's working and we're connecting with folks. I mean, I'd love to have a little bit more audience interaction besides just on Congressman McGovern and Emily Webster's day. But you know, like we're still growing. We're only a year old, so like the fact that people are know to email us and interact with us in that way, and that people are sending us pitches like actively and like saying hey, and trying to engage with us in that way, I think is really good and inspiring and encouraging of what we're already doing. So I think just doing more of what we're doing, even
We're also going to,
more.
we were really involved in the Green River Festival, which happens in Greenfield last year. And we're going to probably be upping our participation to a certain degree in that music festival in the summer, as well as strike pending, getting more involved in the Wilco Solid Sound Festival at MassMoca, which we've been involved with our previous station, but we're hoping to be very, very much involved with that when they come around in June to North Adams. And that's the thing that's been exciting too. When I was at the river and when Khalees was at the river, the signal there really reached from like Northampton to the tip of the Vermont border. And now that we get to explore more in Hamden County, Springfield and Holyoke and out into the Berkshires and Lenox and North Adams and stuff, that's been exciting too. It's like unlocking a new part of the map.
Yeah, and honestly, like kind of introducing the two halves of Western Mass to each other a little bit because like it's hard to get to the Berkshires and vice versa, like get out of there. So each kind of segment of Western Mass is a little insular, and this way we really get to like bring everybody together, like go out to the mountains, go eat here, like go see this like exhibit at this museum because it's really fascinating. And then like for to them, like come over to this side and see like other symphonies besides the BSO at other times of the year. And like do this in the valley, like just at least for Western Mass and the four counties, encouraging that cross-pollination to happen.
Yeah, and Khalees, you bring up a good point about there being like the two parts of Western Mass, because before I started frequenting more there more because of wedding planning, like I just assumed that everything was just the Berkshires, like the whole Western Mass was the Berkshires. And then when I drove out there, I'm like, no, you really have like the Springfield, the Northampton, the Amherst, the Hadley, and then the Berkshires are farther out. And so I think it's important for people to know that distinction between the two areas and what they both have to offer, which is so much.
A lot of Berkshire's people don't believe that like Northampton and Springfield are is Western Mass. They think it's Central Mass. So there is this divide, which is really funny to me. And then people in Boston think everything west of Worcester is Western Mass.
And they are also wrong.
Yes, I'm down on like the South Coast or shore, so that's my perspective is like everything out there. So with the Fabulous 413, I think it's incredible that you've only had it for a year. I thought it was so much longer than that just because of how many wonderful things that you've done. With that, have you had any things that have happened like with the show that you weren't expecting in a good way? Like you weren't expecting something to happen and it just kind of turned into something more?
I mean, I think it's a kind of a bad way that turned into a good way, if you want to look at it like that. Like nobody was expecting the kind of weather that we were going to get last growing season. And when the floods really came and affected so many of the farms in the area, we were able to kind of jump right to it and cover them right away. And then out of that grew Governor Healey's office's public-private partnership with a couple of local agencies here to try to help support the farmers financially until such a time as the government would be able to come in and maybe make some money available to them. So we were there at all of those steps along the way in making that happen. So out of something terrible happening, we were not only able to just let people know about the situation and become more aware of it, but also given them opportunities to get involved.
That's so much like more humanitarian than mine. I was just going to say Live Music Friday because it wasn't initially supposed to be a regular segment. Like it was just a, like, this thing is happening. It was coincided with that year's, with last year's Back Porch Festival. And we're like, yeah, no, we'll bring somebody on. And then it just kept happening. And now it's a regular segment where we're looking for people and like highlighting a lot of not just like artists coming in from afar, but like a bunch of really good local artists, because we have an incredible music scene here, and it's really nice to be able to highlight that.
Yes, and that's interesting that it was meant to be just like a one-time thing, but is now turned into a regular segment. What was the reasoning for that? Did you get a lot of positive feedback from people, and that's what made you want to kind of have it as a recurring segment?
I think that it was more like Fridays, people are in a specific kind of mood.
Yeah.
And you know, doing something cool like having live music in, and we almost always have a wine tasting segment on Fridays too. So
oh,
it's like,
fun.
You know, it's a much more relaxed. We try to intentionally make Fridays feel more chill because we are gliding into the weekend. So I think that's where a lot of it comes from, and it just made perfect sense. We'll have music. We have live music on days that are not Fridays sometimes too, but we always try to have it on Fridays if we can swing it.
Yes.
And now we know that our parent company WGBH and the Jim and Marjorie show have
stolen
Live Music
our idea.
Friday as a name. They put
real.
It top of Live Music Friday, LMF, just like
and
us.
Like,
and they
were
just off for
no.
the first time last week. So we're coming for you, Jim and Marjorie.
Like, that is our, they just straight up stole our stuff.
Gonna have to get it copyrighted.
Yeah.
Good luck to us with
technically
that.
Technically, we're in the same company. So I guess they didn't steal it. They just
borrowed.
They borrowed it from the same company.
Heavily.
Yeah.
that's great though, with how many ideas that you've had just coming out of things. And Monty, you brought up a good point earlier about how you love how listeners will share like their feedback about things or things that they've done because of what they've discovered through the show. And I imagine that's also probably the opposite too, where if it might be like a new organization or new company, and because they've been spotlighted on the fabulous 413, that they probably have had really great outcomes for them, whether it's an uptick in visitors or an increase in business. So could you talk a little bit more about that and how that has supported local businesses out in Western Mass?
Yeah, I mean, our goal isn't necessarily to drive capitalism. However, when it works, it's great. You know, we had there's an arts organization in Northampton, the Arts Trust 33 Holly, and we had a couple people on from like an event that they were having. It was a really good community oriented arts and music event, and you know, get the feedback the next week that like we were on your show and more people showed up to that than have ever showed up ever before. And that's just, it's good because it's community building. It, to me, it's you know, more than building commerce. It's community building, that showing people that there are ways that they can continue to interact with their community and build a strong community together.
Yeah. And that like going and supporting like other businesses and other like institutions in the area really just does it reinforce that foundation.
Yeah.
It's all about connections, y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. It's, and especially the part of community, because that's so important, especially when people come together. I mean, you can make a bigger impact for the greater good with that.
Yeah, we were at our other radio station, I think, even though it was a commercial station, we were very good at bringing community together for all sorts of different things. And some of those specific things we brought over to this station too. We do a big fundraiser in November for the Food Bank of Western Mass that started out as a ridiculous publicity stunt.
You're not allowed to call it that.
Started out as, I think I can say that.
Billy's going to come and yell at you again.
There's a food justice advocate in Springfield that yells at me every time I call it a ridiculous publicity stunt, because she does believe that it's a good thing.
It is, but a good thing.
It is also ridiculous, where I push a shopping cart 43 miles over 2 days
from
Springfield to Northampton, and then from Northampton to Greenfield, all to raise money and awareness about food insecurity, hunger, and to try to raise money for the food bank at the same time. And our U.S. congressman goes the whole 43 miles with us for that. over ebbs and flows throughout the course of the 43 miles, but hundreds of different listeners and participants get involved in that. The governor came for the last couple miles of the last one back in November. So it does go to show you that people want to connect as a community, and our job is to try to present them with as many opportunities as we can think of to do that.
And not to, like, I mean, you were talking about the farm aid things that were happening in Massachusetts. Like, some of that honestly came out of that march. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, so, like, Tim Garvin wouldn't have been a part of it if he wasn't walking on the march with you. So, like, again, it's all about building connections and building community.
Yeah, the head of the Western Mass Office of Governor Healey, Kristen Ellico, has been on the march a bunch of different times. And so when the governor was looking at what organizations that they could work with in Western Mass to help facilitate this fund, she remembered her friend Tim Garvin, who runs the United Way of Central and Western Mass. And so they partnered up and had met on the food bank march before. CESA, which is a local food organization community involved in sustaining agriculture, is also a big part of that march. And so they were one of the organizing bodies of that fund. So yeah, it is about trying to create connections and build a better community. I've said a million times, but we like to say that the Valley in particular, I think, is a bubble. Like there are certain things that we like to feel like maybe we're in our ivory towers of the five colleges here, but there are some good things that come out of the fact that we've created this bubble. We inflate this bubble. We're building a community that helps us try to navigate through some of these greater social ills in a different way than gets navigated through, like, say, where I grew up, close to where you are, probably on the South Shore of Boston. You know what I mean? There, I never had that same sense of community there because there weren't that many people that I encountered that were trying to build that. So,
yeah, I agree. And I think that's something that draws people to Western Mass. I mean, that's something I've really enjoyed the few times I've gone out there, is just how close people are and how everyone is always lending a helping hand and being there to support one another in any way that they can, which I think is unique for that part of Massachusetts. Because a lot of Massachusetts, like you said, down here on the South Shore, it's everyone kind of stays in there to themselves and whatnot. But it's really great when you have that community that you're able to build.
Yeah.
And so
or
with the show,
being both nice and kind, as opposed to just kind.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. With the show, what would you say are some challenges that you might have faced? So you've had a lot of great outcomes from the show and really great feedback that you've received, but what are some challenges that you may have gone through?
Ooh.
I mean, there are some people that don't like our style because we're kind of very non-traditional public radio. And I don't know if that's a challenge. I think it might be more of a challenge for the listener than for us.
I feel like that's more just like stylistic differences. Like there is definitely, there are people who don't like the jump cuts, which I think are hilarious. That's a very modern thing and very non-NPR things.
It's the way I edit a lot of the segments. Yeah. Very, you know, very jump cutty.
Yeah, there's people who hate that I laugh all the time. I laugh all the time. Like, that's just me. I'm not going to stop being me on this show. It makes it stop being me as part of the show. I think, honestly, the hardest challenge we had was not touching the board.
Yeah, we have people that run the board for us, and we both come from a background of knowing how to run the board ourselves. So that has been a challenge.
Yeah.
Also, when we started, you know, they peeled away an hour of classical music. And so we replaced an hour of classical music. And that was a challenge at first.
Oh, my goodness.
And kind of opening up NEPM to the idea that, hey, local conversations are going to start happening here. Eventually, classical went to its all 24-hour classical format on a different frequency. And now another local program has come up in the last couple of months on NEPM. So it was a little bit challenging to be the one that was going to wedge that door open to say, hey, this is the direction we're going in now. We're doubling down on Western Mass. We're going to have more local conversations. Classical is going to move to its own thing over here. So we had to overcome that a little bit, but I think that's mostly worked itself out.
Yeah. And I think like the challenge for like this and honestly the whole station going forward is making sure that our listeners are coming from as wide an area as we broadcast to. Like we try very specifically to be as inclusive and for as many possible adjective variants as there are for people in the area. But we also are aware that not all of those people are able to interact. So we're just trying to be as broad as possible to touch on as many things that people might want to touch upon. We're casting as wide a net as possible, and that net is hopefully only going to get bigger.
But still confined to the 413 mostly.
Yeah, and that's actually a good point of trying to bring all like the geographic regions, the four counties together. And like you said, Kalise, being able to ensure that there's something that could be relevant for everyone and being able to draw that together. Like, do you find that a lot of your listeners come from the same city or the same area? Or have you kind of noticed that diversification now that you've been around for a year?
I mean, there's been some diversification for sure. Like, I remember... Oh, when we went to the Clark the first time and we encountered somebody who'd already heard the show, and the show had only really been on for like 2 or 3 weeks at that point. And like, I wasn't really expecting like to have like listeners already that far out.
Because the Clark is about an hour away from Springfield in the Northern Berkshires. So
an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Hour and a half. It takes at least an hour to get anywhere in the Berkshires from here, like literally. But like it was surprising and kind of awesome that that was happening. And then like we started to hear like more people from like more broad areas. And I've like, so yes, but I still feel like we could do more. We can get more.
Yeah. And it's good to show up and be places too. I mean,
yeah,
I think that
yeah.
the station here hadn't had much of a street presence except for like a couple of marquee events a year. So the fact that like, you know, we've done a live broadcast from the Norman Rockwell Museum and, you know, and going to the different music festivals in North Adams last year and the ones
and
in Greenfield.
The new Greenfield Library, yeah.
Yeah, broadcasted in the Greenfield Library, you know, that kind of thing. So that just being a presence is an important part of letting people know that you're there and letting them know that you're there for them and to interact with you. I think it's also great, you know, we've been a lot of people in Springfield who may or may not have ever felt like they could or should be on this frequency, despite the fact that the station has been here for 10 years. You know, we've been trying to do our darndest to welcome those voices on here. And I think that goes a long way with then they go back to their community and say, oh, I was on the Fabulous 413. And then they, and their friends and their community start listening to it more. It's playing small ball. It's like a ground game, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's a great point too, is just when you bring different people on and go to different places in the community, now you're expanding the amount of people who know about the Fabulous 413 and who are now becoming more consistent listeners with the show.
Yeah.
We hope.
And to pivot things a little bit from your show to public radio in general, for anyone who's listening to this episode who is potentially interested in pursuing a career in public radio, what advice would you have for them with getting started?
Talk to somebody else. That's what I'll tell you.
Yeah, we're the wrong people to ask. The way we got into this is not the standard way of getting into things like this. Like we are an atypical case. Don't do what we did.
Yeah, the standard way is to try to learn how to talk like Ira Glass from This American Life talks. But I don't know. That's just not our way.
No.
I mean, getting into radio, if you want to get into radio or you want to get into podcasting or whatever, I would say the best advice I ever got, and this was 24 years ago, was from a guy who actually worked in public radio at the time while I was an intern at a commercial station. He said, learn how to edit audio and you will always have a job. And I was like, oh, okay, I better do that. And I did. And I have. So I don't know if that's a one-for-one correlation or causation, but it's worked for me. So yeah. And
yeah.
Nowadays it's super easy. You don't have to cut tape. Even back when I started, it was like literally cutting tape. And now it's like a snap.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then after that, I think the advice that Monty's given to me for doing things for this is like, be ready to kill your darlings.
Yeah.
Don't get too attached.
Right. The other thing I like to say, and this goes with whatever kind of creative endeavor you're trying to put forward, especially if you're working not just for yourself, but for somebody else. I read it in a book called You're Lucky, You're Funny, which was by the showrunner for Everybody Loves Raymond, which was a show that I literally have never watched, but I read the book and it had this one quote that stuck with me that said, do the kind of show that you want to do because you're going to get canceled anyway.
Yeah.
So
that's
rather
a good perspective.
Yeah. then you know, if you did the kind of show that you wanted to do all along, and then they tell you that after that show's over, you know, you're done, you feel good about doing the show you wanted to do, as opposed to, I tried so hard to compromise so that I could maintain and hold on to this thing for dear life that I didn't really care about doing this way. I think it helps you sleep better at night.
I think like everybody making something, well, I feel like, and maybe I'm biased, that everybody making something eventually comes to that conclusion. Like, I'm going to make the thing that I am proud of, that I like, and whoever likes that thing will come around and they will like that thing. And I'm not going to worry about trying to appeal to all of these things. I'm just going to try and make the best thing that I can make.
Yeah,
I had
and
to
I
come to that
love that.
conclusion at our last station.
I mean, it's true because you mentioned that the two of you have a very non-traditional approach to your show. And personally, me, like, I crave something that's different. I want something that's not the status quo, that's doing something in a unique way. And so, like you mentioned, Khalees, being able to find those people who will also appreciate that style and look for something that's different than what's been done the past few decades.
Yeah, this, like, you'll figure out what your lane is. Just like go in there, go find your lane and practice.
One thing we learned from our regular guest, the Merriam-Webster editor, Emily Brewster, was that the Merriam-Webster word of the year 2023 was authenticity. It was looked up more in the
Really?
year 2023 over other years, like by exponential amounts. And I think that's what people are craving. They want, you know, in an era of AI and fake news and all these things, they want things that are authentic. And I think you have, you know, trying to be your authentic self is sometimes in a public format one of the hardest things to be, because you feel like, oh, I'm a radio host, I'm supposed to talk like this, I'm supposed to do XYZ. But, you know, trying to find that authenticity, I think, when you do find it, people start to relate to it.
Absolutely. I love that. As we get closer to the end of our episode, one of my favorite questions to ask our guests is what their favorite local businesses are to support. So I'd love to hear the places that you two frequent and you two love the most, which might be challenging knowing how many places you visited.
Yeah. We could break it down by county. We could do it by beer
You
and
could do
wine. We
that.
could do it by food. I don't know. How do we want to do, how do you want to do it? You want to go first, Khalees, or?
Oh no. I mean, I my brain, I knew this was coming and I've been trying to figure it out ever since. But I think like one of the ones I'm going to shout out is Comics and More in East Hampton, which is one of the last remaining like comic shops. Doesn't branch out, like doesn't do the extra stuff, doesn't do like role-playing games or board games or anything, like pure comics and graphic novels. And they have an incredible selection. They curate well, they bring in authors, they're like staunchly for the people. And they do fantastic work in East Hampton.
Awesome.
One of my favorite places on earth, and we actually haven't had them on the show yet, but we definitely should, is the Montague Book Mill, which
I
it's
love them
just,
so much.
yeah, it's a used bookstore, like right on the river in the town where I live in Montague, with a cute little cafe called the Lady Killigrew. And you know, when a nice spring or summer day, being out there and sipping wine or drinking coffee by the river, watching the sea lamprey try to climb up there and spawn and die, while you're rummaging through musty old books. It's a great place.
Is there still a Turn It Up there? Because like
There is still a Turn It Up Records and
shout out
CDs
to,
there too.
like, secondary shout out to Turn It Up, who like just I for years were this one store that were bringing in Japanese imports, like just carte blanche. And so I would go in and buy a lot of things in names I could barely read and get exposed to a whole lot of extra really cool music. I feel like we should mention a place in the Berkshires because we've been like all over the valley at this point.
Well, we love Dare Bottle Shop and
We do
Provisions
love.
in Lenox and now Great Barrington. They are a great little wine shop there, and Mary and Ben Dare, who run that, are excellent. They're one of our regular wine tasters on those Fridays that we mentioned.
I love the Berkshire Botanical Gardens. I
I love
love, that
Mass
sounds like a
Mocha,
cool
but wait till the
place.
strike is over.
Yeah, the Berkshire Botanical Gardens is wonderful. The grounds are open year round. They do a lot of programming. They do a lot of classes so that you can get your garden in order. Like come May, they'll have their plant sale, and it's just really, really wonderful. And like they've been teaming up with Dare provision bottle shop and provisions to do like wine tastings and dinners, which are really, really cool.
And we love in Springfield, White Lion makes great beer and cool, fun spot with food from Jackalope, which is right around the corner. And they have a great bar and a great menu in their own restaurant there. So that's one of
Also,
our.
the owner of White Lion, Ray Berry, has come to our rescue so many times.
Yeah,
Like
we need it.
literally, like that man's involved in so many things, and a bunch of times when we've been trying to get in contact with someone, Ray Berry has put us in contact with them, and he's just like genuinely the best.
Yeah,
That's the
he's awesome.
perfect person to have in your corner. Yeah.
Totally.
Well, awesome. I'm gonna have to check all of these spots out. I love that you two shared kind of like all across the board in terms of types of shops and also their locations. Very
Yeah,
cool.
yeah.
Trying.
Well,
Trying.
thank you both so much for coming on the show. I'd love if you could share with our listeners where they can find you online in case they'd like to connect with you further.
Sure. You can always email us at thefab413@nepm.org, and you can stream our show through our podcast at prx.org or nepm.org and all of the normal places you get podcasts.
Yeah. And if you're in the Springfield area, we're on 88.5, and there's a bevy of other frequencies in the four counties that you can catch us live weekday afternoons from 3 to 4.
Awesome. And I will include those links in the show notes. That way, our listeners can click through and listen and connect with you both from there. But thank you so much again for coming on today.
Thanks
Thanks
for
for
having
having
us.
us.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.